This shiur is dedicated L'Iloi Nishmos, my parents, Avi Mori, Herschel Meyer Ben Shmuel, and Imi Marussi, Bela Dreja Bas Baruch Halevi, who both gave me tremendous love and nourishment in very, very different but complementary ways. It doesn't even begin to express it, but thanks, Mom and Dad. Good day, Rabbi Sai. My name is Barry Yaffe, and I want to thank you for joining me today. As I'm dictating this, it is in the midst of the week of Parshas Bamidbar. We're starting a new Sefer in Chumash. It is 1 week before Shavuos, Matan Torah of 5783. And because I'm in Chutz Laaretz, it is 3 weeks before Parshas Ba'alosecha. You'll find out why that latter is important in the middle of the shiur. And I thought that this was an opportune time to talk about how I think that Rashi views the entire Chumash. Rashi is always our primary tour guide whenever we open up a Chumash, so I think it's something that's worth spending a little time on. I'm sure I am not the first person to understand it this way, but here is my understanding. Many of the Meforshim on Chumash provide an introduction to the Chumash overall, such as the Ramban, Baal HaTurim, Siporno, many others. And indeed, the Ramban actually provides an introduction before each Sefer. Rashi does not seem to do that. Ramban's approach is instructive. Although he doesn't state it, he clearly is asking an unspoken question. Why is the Chumash divided into five separate books? And his obvious answer is because each book has a particular theme that unites it and makes it distinct and separate from the other books of the Chamishei Chumashei Torah. So, for instance, he calls Sefer Bereishis Sefer Hayitzira, the book of formation or fashioning, because it represents Hashem forming the entire world, and also Hashem orchestrating events in human history to form Klal Yisrael, and it ends with the core formation of the 70 members of Klal Yisrael. Ramban labels Sefer Shmos as Sefer HaGeula, and he provides a marvelous rationale for why Sefer Shmos does not end with the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. His point is that true Geula is not simple redemption from physical slavery, but true Geula is being in the presence and being united to the Shekhinah here on earth. And so therefore, Sefer Shmos does not end with Kriyas Yamsuf. It continues through Matan Torah, and it continues through the temporary separation that we had from the Shekhinah with the Chet HaEgel, and finally does end when the Shekhinah is reunited with the Jewish people in a stable and durable relationship on the day that the Mishkan is inaugurated. That represents true Geula, and that's why Sefer Shmos includes all of those events and ends with the rejoining of the Shekhinah to Klal Yisrael. Rashi, on the other hand, does not seem to give us any introduction to the Sefer or any rationale for why each Sefer is unique and distinct from the others. He just plunges right into his commentary with the first pasuk. So twice, I've already said that Rashi does not seem to give us an introduction to each Sefer. Rabbi Sai, what I'm going to try to convince you today is that that is absolutely not true. Rashi indeed gives us a very profound introduction to each Sefer, and from the overall pattern, I think it's clear how Rashi views the entire Chumash. Except, in typical, laconic, subtle, elegant Rashi fashion, he doesn't call it an introduction. It simply looks like his parish on the first pasuk of each Sefer. But I think I can convince you of the pattern, and so let's look at first Rashis in each Sefer of Chumash. Now I'm going to start in a place that seems somewhat illogical. I'm going to start with Sefer Vayikra. I'm doing that for a reason. I'm doing that because I'm going to ask you a question, and I like questions. Good questions lead to good answers that change your perspective, and that's why they're important. So pull out your Chumash, and let's take a look at the first pasuk in Vayikra. If you don't have a Chumash, there is an attached Mara Mekomis with all of the text that I'm going to reference. Okay, so the first pasuk is Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav me'ohel moed lemor. And He called to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, Lamor, to say over to Klal Yisrael. So before we get into the Rashi, there are a couple of points I want to make. First of all, this pasuk introduces a dibur, right? Vayikra el Moshe, vayidaber Hashem elav, and Hashem spoke to him with a lashon dibur, vayidaber. The second point that I want to make concerns the small aleph in the word vayikra. In the Klaf in a Sefer Torah, the aleph, the final letter in the word vayikra, is written quite small, and almost everyone is familiar with the teaching that comes actually not from Rashi, but from the Baal HaTurim. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have always thought of this as if it came directly from Rashi, because Rashi provides the jumping-off point for the Baal HaTurim. Says the Baal HaTurim, and I'll just translate, the aleph of the word Vayikra is small, because Moshe was a great person, but he was a modest person. He was an anav, and he only wanted to write the word Vayikar, which is a language of accidental meeting. Like, oh, I bumped into you. Gee, I didn't expect to see you here, but as long as we're here, I have something to tell you. Continues the Baal HaTurim, ki'ilu, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to him only in dreams, in the same manner that it says regarding Bilam, and as if Hashem only appeared to him in an accidental happenstance fashion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to also write the Aleph, not to do what he had wanted to do, to leave the Aleph off. And then Moshe answered him, because of his extreme anivus, that he should only write the Aleph small. Smaller than the other aleph in the Torah, and therefore he did write it small. So there's this interesting back and forth between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what word to write. And that comes from a Medrash. Okay, now finally, let's get to the Rashi on the first pasuk of Sefer Vayikra. The pasuk is Vayikra el Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elav. I'm going to read it in the Hebrew phrase by phrase and translate it. Rashi is extremely laconic, and it's important to look at how he phrases things. Vayikra el Moshe is the Davar HaMaskil, the title of the Rashi. Vayikra el Moshe, l'chol dibros, for all places where we have a dibur of Hashem, as we have in this pasuk, because it's Vayikra el Moshe, vayidaber Hashem elav. Hashem speaks to him with the dibur. So for all dibros, every place it says that Hashem has a dibur for Moshe, ulchol amiros, and for every place that it says that Hashem has an amira for Moshe, vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ulchol tzivuyim, and for every place where it says vayitzav Hashem as Moshe, kodma kriya. So it is introduced with a calling, with a summons. That's from Teres Kohanim, from the Sifra. Says Rashi, it's a lashon chiba. It is a language of chiba, of affection. Lashon shemalachei hashares mishtam shinbo. It is the language by which the ministering angels serve with it. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, which serves as the beginning of our kedusha in the davening. V'karezel zevi amar, and one angel calls to the other and says kadosh. And he says kadosh, which is the first of the three kedushos. But Rashi continues, but there's a contrast here. So Hashem summons Moshe because he wants to talk to him. Moshe's presence before Hashem is important. But what's the contrast? Aval, but Nevi'e Umos Ha'olam, the prophets of the nations of the world, the other nations, Nigla Aleihem B'Lashon Aroi V'Tuma. Hashem appears to them with a language of temporariness and defilement. Shenemar, like it says in Parshas Balak, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam, that Hashem happened upon Bilam. He stumbled upon him. Oh, a chance meeting. Vayikar, without the Aleph, Elokim El Bilam. That's Bereishis Rabbah, and that's the end of that Rashi. Seems like it's just a perush on the pasuk. Now, when you translate a Rashi phrase by phrase, it's somewhat disjointed, and sometimes you lose track of where you are. This is a complex Rashi, and one thought segues into another, into another, into another. So let's summarize it so that we understand the flow of thought. So Rashi says that every time Hashem has a message for Klal Yisrael that he wants to give Moshe, he first summons him with a language of Kriya, Vayikra El Moshe, and that is a language of chiba, of affection, of love. And we know that because it is the language that the ministering angels use right before they praise God with Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The pasuk is V'karazel Zeh V'Omar. They call one to the other, and then they say Kedusha. However, that is in contrast to the absence of a kriya, a loving summons, with the Nevi'im of the other nations, where Hashem does not particularly desire a meeting, and so it uses a language of chance meeting, vayikar, and that's illustrated by the pasuk vayikar Elohim el Bilam, that Hashem stumbled upon Bilam. So now I'd like to backtrack one safer and take a look at the first Rashi in Shemos. But before I do that, we're going to come back to Vayikra. But before we leave Vayikra, I want to ask you a question. Rashi says that Kriya, calling, is a Lashon Chiba, a language of love or a language of affection. The pasuk is Vayikra el Moshe. Hashem called to Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem Elav, and Hashem spoke to him. So who is it exactly that Hashem is showing kaviyachol affection for? That's the question. Who is it that Hashem loves, or that Rashi is stating that Hashem loves? And a corollary question to that, to help guide us, is Rashi sets up a parallelism between the Kriya here in Vayikra and the Medrash that he brings, that he uses to demonstrate that Kriya is a language of love, which is V'kara ze el ze v'amar kadosh, that the Malachi HaShoresh call to each other with Kriya, with a Lashon Chiba, and they say Kedusha. So who is it that the Malachim love? Right? Who is it that Hashem loves at the beginning of this Sefer, and who is it that the Malachim love? Okay, that is the question. Think about that. And let's backtrack one Sefer to Sefer Shmos. So the first pasuk in Sefer Shmos is V'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayma, and these are the names of the children of Israel that are coming to Mitzrayim, Es Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ishu Veso Ba'u, each man in his household they came. Then it lists the names of the 12 Shvatim and it counts them. It says Vayi Kol Nefesh Yotzei Yerech Yaakov Shivim Nefesh, that all of the souls that came out of the thigh of Yaakov were 70 souls, and Yosef Haya B'Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. The next pasuk tells us that they died. Vayamas Yosef V'Chol Echav V'Chol Hador Hahu. So says Rashi, first Rashi on the Sefer, Ve'ele Shmos B'nei Yisrael, that's the Davar HaMaskil, and these are the names of the children of Israel. So Rashi says, Af Al Pi, even though Sheminoam B'Chayehem B'Shmosam, even though that it counted them in their lives by their names, and I'll show you briefly where that is, Chazar, it comes back again, the Chumash comes back and returns, U'Menoam B'Misasam, and it counts them in their deaths. Lehodia, in order to show chibasam, their affection, or the affection for them. Ding, 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 ding. Red flag. Okay? Chibasan. Chiba. We just had that word in the first Rashi in Vayikra, did we not? Kara is a Lashon chiba, says Rashi, and now that word is popping up again. So it's too early to see for sure whether there's a pattern here, but it is possible that there's an emerging pattern. And then Rashi goes on. Shanim shalu l'kochavim, that they are compared to the stars. She motziam u'machnisam b'mispar u'v'shemosam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them out and he brings them in by number and by name. Shene'emar, and in Rashi brings a pasuk from Yeshaya, which is actually taken from the end of Tehillim. Hamotzi b'mispar tzivam l'chulam b'shem yikra. He, the one who takes out by number the hosts of the heaven, and for all of them he calls them by name. And that last idea, that Hashem recognizes his creations, whether they are the stars or whether they are the members of Klal Yisrael, by name and by number, that's taken from a Shmos Rabbah and from a Medrash Tanchuma. Ding, 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 ding! Okay, that's a second similarity. Because that's exactly the same pattern that Rashi did in Vayikra, right? He uses something which he labels as chiba, and then he brings a medrash to substantiate the point. So Rashi brings a different medrash here, but it's the same pattern. So at this point, we only have two Rashis that follow the same format of the word chiba, followed by a medrash brought in substantiation, but good bet that perhaps there is indeed an emerging pattern. Now, what does Rashi say? Rashi says that afal pi shemenon b'chayeim b'shmosim, even though that Hashem counted them by their names in their lives, let's just tie together that loose end. And if we go back only a couple of paragraphs into Parshas Vayigash, in Parshas Vayigash, Perek Mimvav, 46, Pasuk Ches, it starts to enumerate the names of the 70 offspring of Yaakov that came down to Mitzrayim. Ve'ele shmos b'nei Yisrael ha'boyim Mitzrayim, Yaakov uvanov b'char Yaakov Reuven, uvanei Reuven, Chanoch ufalu v'chetzron, etc., etc. Goes through all of the names. And at the end of that, there's a summary pasuk that Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Kol nefesh leves Yaakov haba Mitzrayim shivim. There were 70 souls. Okay, so that's where they were counted in their lifetimes. And then here at the beginning of Shmos, Vayamas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hador hahu. Okay, so this is Hashem recounting them in their deaths and recording them in the Chumash by name, at least insofar as the names of the 12 B'nai Yisrael. So to summarize one more time, Rashi says something about Chiba and brings a supporting medrash for that. Here, in this Rashi, it is unambiguous. There is no question who is the object of Chiba, of love. It is the B'nai Yisrael. It has to be. There is no other candidate. And Hashem's Chiba is demonstrated by the fact that the Chumash, which does not waste words, enumerates them a second time and gives us a full count of 70, even though we already know that from Parshas Vayigash. And of course, it is a sine qua non of a relationship between someone and someone that is loved, that you know how many there are, and by golly, you can name them. I've got 9 grandchildren, and I'm pretty sure that I can name them for you. And I love them. Now, the second part of Rashi brings a medrash, but it's not any random medrash. It's making a point. It is a comparison between Klal Yisrael and the stars, which Hashem takes out and puts away by number and by name. So, skipping over the point about whether Hashem loves his stars that he created, in this medrash, Klal Yisrael is compared to the stars. So, wait a minute. Let's remember from Parshas Lech Lecha by the Bris Ben Abisarim, where Avraham asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where are my children? And Hashem takes him Hachutza, and he shows him what? The stars. And he asks Avraham, look at the stars. Can you count them? Your kids are going to be like the stars. And Hashem then goes on to promise Avraham that his children will be enslaved in a land which is not theirs for 400 years. But at the end of that interval, Hashem will take them out, B'rechush Gadol, and they will return to the land and possess it. So it seems to me that Rashi is picking this particular medrash as a not-so-subtle reminder that this is the beginning of the actualization of that Havtacha, of the Havtacha of the Bris Ben Abisarim, simply by reminding us that we are compared to the stars, and then that jars that memory that Hashem already compared us to the stars at the Bris Ben Abisarim. So what Rashi is doing is he is setting us up for what is in fact the theme of Shemos. It looks like it's just a perish on a pasuk, but subliminally, this is the theme of Shemos, that in Sefer Shemos, we went from a core family unit of 70 meager people, Mesei Ma'at, and we became a great nation of 600,000 people, and that in the aftermath of that, we will be freed from Mitzrayim, and we will leave Berechush Gadol, and I don't think it's so outrageous to understand that Rashi and Ramban are not so far apart, and that Rashi's conception of Berechush Gadol is not just the gold and the silver and the fine clothes, that the Berechush Gadol is the Torah and a stable relationship with the Shekhinah. So what Rashi is doing with this medrash, he is actually giving us the theme of Sefer Shmos. He just does it in a lot fewer words than the Ramban, and he does it by making associations. He doesn't tell you outright, but that's the way Rashi functions. Now, I'm not forgetting that I left you with a couple of questions in Vayikra. We're going to come back to those. But before I do that, I want to fast forward to the first Pasuk and the first Rashi in Sefer Bamidbar, because I want to convince you that the association of Chiba and a Medrash isn't just a fluke, it's a pattern. Let's go to the beginning of Bamidbar. The pasuk is Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Bamidbar Sinai BeOhel Moed BeEchod LaChodesh Hasheni BaShano Hashenis LitzeiSam Meretz Mitzrayim Lemar. And Hashem spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai in the Ohel Moed on the first day of the second month, which is Iyar. In the second year, after they left the land of Mitzrayim to tell Klal Yisrael to name the heads of the Shvatim and to make a census. So says Rashi, Vayidaber b'midbar Sinai b'echad l'chodesh. What does Rashi say? Mitoch chibasan lifanav mona asam kol sha'ah. On account of their affection before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he counts them every hour, every minute. He's constantly counting them. There's our index word again, chiba. And again, the direct object of who this refers to clearly is Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. There's no other good candidate here. That's who Hashem is going to command Moshe to count, and that is the object of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, B'nai Yisrael. To finish off the Rashi, so mitoch chibasan lefanav mona asam kol sha'ah, because of love for them before him, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he counts them all the time. Kishiyasu mimitzrayim min na'am. When they left Egypt, there is a counting of sorts. It's not an exact count, it's approximation. Kishanaflu be'egel min na'am. When there were Jews that fell after the incident with the Egel HaZahav, there's another count of sorts, Leida Minyan HaNosarim, in order to understand how many were remaining after the ones who died. Kishubala Hashra Shechina Sawalehem, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to have his Shechina dwell in their midst or upon them, Minam, he counts them. Be'echad B'nisan Hukam HaMishkan, on the first day of Nisan, the Mishkan was erected, Uva Echad B'Iyar, Minam. And 1 month later, on the first day of Iyar, he counted them. In this Medrash, Rashi cites three different countings. It's not the focus of this audio, but in my Maror Mekomos, I have listed the three countings and made a few comments about them. But to focus on the important points that I want to bring out in this Rashi, we have our index word, Mitoch Chibasan Lefanav, on account of the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for them. And we also have what sounds like a medrash at the end of it. Rashi certainly didn't make it up. I'm not sure where the source is. It is possible that it is from a Bamidbar Rabba, Parsha Beis, paragraph Yud Tes. I'm not sure about that, though. So I'm going to continue to look for a midrashic source. To summarize the important points that I want to abstract from this Rashi, we have Chibasan at the beginning of it, and then we have a medrash. And what is the medrash about? The medrash is about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the members of Bnei Yisrael in the periods of their glory, and he also counts the members of Bnei Yisrael in the aftermath of episodes of degradation, because he kaviyachol loves them, and it is kaviyachol painful to him to see them lose members by attrition. So he counts them even after catastrophes. So with that medrash in mind, let's take a look at what happens in Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar splits up into a number of fairly distinct segments. The first part of Bamidbar, we view Klal Yisrael as almost the military machine of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. They are arrayed around the Mishkan with the Aron at its center where the Shekhinah dwells, and they move in a military formation toward the Promised Land, and they are ready to just take over the land of Canaan, move in, and live happily ever after. Then that gets derailed with a number of horror stories, not the least of which is the episode of the Meraglim. And then at the end of Bamidbar, all of a sudden, everything becomes very sweet after the end of 40 years in Parshas Pinchas, and everything goes right again. And I would point out that the Gemara in Masechta Sota, page 36b, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, labels Sefer Bamidbar as Chumash HaPikudim, the part of the Chumash of countings, or what we commonly call numbers. But by that summary of Sefer Bamidbar, what it's really all about is the countings of Bnei Yisrael in their moments of glory and the countings of Bnei Yisrael in their moments of degradation. Isn't that the Medrash that Rashi brings on his first pasuk in Bamidbar? So again, on the first pasuk of Bamidbar, it looks like just a perish of the pasuk, but actually it is a summary of the entire Sefer, and there is the restatement that Hashem loves us. Okay, so now that we've established from Sefer Shmos and Sefer Bamidbar that pretty clearly there is a pattern of Chiba, and pretty clearly that Chiba is directed at Bnei Yisrael, let's go back to Vayikra and address those two questions that I left you with. In the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, I ask you, who was it that Hashem Kaviyachol loves, and who is it that the Malachim love? And so let's go back and take a look at that Rashi and try to understand the incredible subtlety and elegance of Rashi and how easy it is to misunderstand him. If you said that God loves Moshe, if that was your answer, then I think that's the wrong answer, but don't be embarrassed, because that's exactly what I thought for at least 30 or 40 years of my life when I've seen this Rashi over and over and over again. And the reason for the mistake is very simply the pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidabra Hashem elav. Hashem called to Moshe. And Rashi adds to this, he called with Lashon Chiba. So that the natural conclusion is Hashem loves Moshe, and he called lovingly to Moshe. Moshe is clearly Hashem's intimate, and he is Hashem's good buddy. Hashem loves Moshe. And I'm not saying that Hashem doesn't love Moshe. But take a look at how Rashi introduces the contrast to Moshe. He says that Hashem calls with a Lashon Chiba, like the Malachim call to each other. And then the contrast is, Aval l'neviye umos ha'olam, but for the prophets of the nations of the world, Nigla aleihem b'lashon aroi v'tumah, Hashem appears to them in a disparaging kind of fashion. Shene'emar vayikar Elokim el Bilam. So what Rashi is doing is he is setting up a contrast not between Moshe the person and Bilam the person. He is setting up a contrast between Moshe in his professional capacity as the Navi Yisrael and contrasting him with the Nevi'e Umos Ha'olam exemplified by Bilam the Navi. And he is saying that Hashem is calling through his Nevi'im, whether it be Moshe or Bilam, in different ways. Moshe is the conduit to Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem has Chiba for Bnei Yisrael through Moshe. Hashem is calling through Moshe lovingly to Bnei Yisrael, whereas Hashem calls through the Nevi'e Umos Ha'olam, such as Bilam, not so lovingly, because they are not the objects of his Chiba. We, Bnei Yisrael, are the Am Segula, the treasured nation, the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation. And Hashem has Chiba for us. I think that is unquestionably the pshat in this pasuk and this Rashi. And Moshe understood that, anav that he was, and he understood that he was given a position of incredible prominence and respect because he was the Navi Yisrael and not because he was the great Moshe Rabbeinu. So he pleaded with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, let me write the Aleph small. It's not about me. It's about the idea that I am the conduit to your beloved people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed and allowed him to write the Aleph small. And in an exactly parallel fashion, the Malachim call out Bilashon Chiba. But who are they expressing love for? Are they expressing love for each other? Or do they call out to each other so they can all express together their praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only with Yira, not only with Ema, but also with Ahava, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their creator. He gave them life. He gave them their existence. How can they not love him? Now, I may be going out a little bit on a limb here, because if one looks at the Birchas Kriya Shema that we say every day, in the Nusuch Sfard, we say, Es Shem Hokel HaMelech HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanora Kadosh Hu V'Chulam Mikablam Aleihem O Malchus Shemaim Zemizeh, and the Sfardim say, V'Nosnim B'Ahava Rishus Zeloze Lahaktis Liotzram Benachas Ruach Besafa Vruv and Ima Kedusha Kulam Kecher. And again, the Sfardim add Onim Be'ema V'Omrim Be'Yira. I'm an Ashkenazi, and in my nusach, it's v'nosnim rishus zelaze, b'yahava is taken out. Parenthetically, the ema is also taken out. But I wonder, this is the first time in my life that I've thought perhaps the Ashkenazi nusach is more correct than the Sephardi nusach. Gulp. And even the Ashkenazim don't have a nusach of onim b'yira v'omrim b'yahava. I can scatterbrain that perhaps that is because the Malachim do not have Bechira, and one cannot have Ahava without having Bechira. Bechira is man's purview, and only man can have true Ahava because he has Bechira. To be able to love means that one also has the option to reject. But that is a shiur for another time. The last part of this binyan that we have to show is how the medrash that is brought here reflects the theme of Vayikra. That's a little complex, and it involves firstly noticing the prayer that we say near the end of the Shacharis davening every day of Uva L'tzion Goel. Uva L'tzion Goel, I think, is a very holy prayer. I think there's a reason for why it comes at the very end of davening, right before we're ready to leave Shul and move out into the rest of our day. For the same reason, it is delayed on Shabbos until Shabbos Mincha, which is the holiest part of the Shabbos right before the Shabbos ends. And on Yom Kippur, it is further delayed until Ne'ilah, which is the holiest part of the day right before the gates close. So Uva L'tzion Goel is not a lightweight prayer. And in it, we have the Kedusha, V'kara ze el zevi amar, Kadosh, 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 Hashem tzivakos, melo chol ha'aretz kivodo. And following that, we have a translation by Targum Yonason ben Uziel, a mystical Tana, who I'm not even sure how to understand. Be that as it may, he makes it clear that the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh is not simply repetitive. Each one of those Kadoshes is a separate midah or characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Malachim are praising him for. The first one is Kaddish b'shmeim romi Eloi beish shechinte. Hashem is holy in the highest of the high heavens. The abode of his presence is the way they translate it, or the place of his presence. I would understand that metaphorically is it is akin to the concept of the earthly Kedusha of Kedushas HaMakom. This is the place of God, the place of the dwelling of the Shekhinah, and therefore it is Kedushas HaMakom, Kedusha of place, Hashem's personal Kedusha, so to speak. The second Kadosh is Kaddish Al Ara Ovad Gevorte. Hashem is holy in the physical world, the earth, the work of his strength, but that is a place where people exist with bodies. There are no physical bodies where Hashem exists, but down here there are physical bodies, so that expresses that Hashem's Kedusha emanates out from the unknown place of his abode to the physical world, the world of bodies, and that is Kedushas HaGuf. The third Kadosh is Kadosh La'olam Olomei Olmayo. Hashem is holy forever and ever. So clearly Hashem exerts his separateness and holiness through his mastery and existence outside of the web of time. Hashem is holy forever and ever. He exists outside of time. That is the equivalent of Kedushas Zman. I'm going to cheat a little bit, and what I've done is I've included in the Maror Mekomos a section from another written piece of mine, the part 3 of Where Does Hallel Come From, and I've put the URL for that in the Maror Mekomos, and I'll let that speak for itself. But clearly, these three Kedushos, these three holinesses, are in fact the entire meat of Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra divides very neatly into mitzvos that have to do with Kedushas HaMakom at the beginning, with Kedushas HaGuf in the middle, and Kedushas HaZman at the end. So this medrash indeed summarizes the entire theme of Vayikra. Whoa. Okay, so we have now established Rashi's pattern for Shemos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Let's pick up Devarim, go back to Bereishis, and end off, oddly enough, in Bahalosecha. And now that we've established the format, perhaps we can speed it up a little. Now, Devarim and Bereishis are a little bit less clear because we don't have our index word of Chiba. But nevertheless, I think I can convince you that the pattern is the same. Devarim starts off, and it is a record of Moshe Rabbeinu's speeches in the final 37 days of his life. And he starts off with Divrei Tochacha. The pasuk starts off Ela HaDevarim. Rashi makes the point in the first pasuk of Koheles, where it says Divrei Koheles ben David Melech b'Yerushalayim Havel Havolim Omar Koheles Havel Havolim Hakol Havel. That the use of the word Divrei or Ela HaDevarim is used to preface something negative, rebuke. I won't quote the whole pasuk, but it is in the Maariv Mekomos. Suffice it to say that Moshe lists a whole lot of geography in the first pasuk. Ba'midbar, ba'arava, mil, suf, bein parum, bein tofel, v'lovan, v'chatzeros, v'dizahav. And he goes on to say, 11 days from Chorev is what it takes to get from Chorev, from Har Sinai, by way of Har Seir, to Kadesh Barnea, which is where they are right now. It's only an 11-day journey. And then, on the triumphant 12th day, they were supposed to march right into Eretz Canaan, take it over, and live happily ever after, with the Shechina in their midst. 12. The symbol of completion, the symbol of the number of months of a year, the symbol of the 12 tribes of the Shiftei Kah. But it took them 40 years. What happened? Something really bad happened to derail that journey and delay their arrival. So says Rashi on this pasuk, Ela HaDevarim, Davar HaMaskil, Lefishehen divrei tochachos, because these are words of rebuke. Umano kan kol hamekamosh shehech isu lifnei hamakom. And he lists here, actually he counts here. There's the concept of counting again. He counts here all of the places that they caused anger before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefichach, therefore, sasam es hadavarim. He hid his harsh words, v'hazkiran b'remez, and he refers to them only by hint, elliptically. He doesn't say, oh, remember the golden calf? Boy, you guys really messed up. He just says, oh, we were in a place called Dizahav. Well, there is no place called Dizahav in the Chumash. But he uses gold to remind them of their errors. So v'hazkiran b'remez, says Rashi, and he mentions them only by hint. Why? Mipnei kivodan shel Yisrael. On account, not of the chiba here, but on account of the honor that Bnei Yisrael deserves. He doesn't want to club them over the head and make them feel like 2 cents. They're the Am HaNivchar. When all is said and done, Hashem loves them, and they deserve some respect, some kavod. Mipnei kavodan shel Yisrael. And this medrash is actually taken from a sifri. And let's take a look at the content of Sefer Devarim. Aside from the many, many mitzvahs that have to do with dwelling in the land that they are about ready to possess, there is a tremendous amount of chizuk and warning, especially at the beginning, not to mess up in the same or a parallel fashion to the way they messed up in the desert. He doesn't want them to fail. He wants them to succeed and to live happily ever after with the Shechina. And isn't that what the first Rashi says? So in one sentence, Rashi encapsulates the entire Sefer. It is Rashi's introduction to the Sefer. Okay, now let's head back to the very beginning of the Chumash, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the first Pasuk, and I want to go over the first two Rashis with you this time because they both form part of a single unit. I think you know the Pasuk. Rashi says, Bereishis. So says Rashi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I believe that was Rashi's father, Lo hiyotzorich lehaskel esatora ela mehachodesh hazeh lochem. Really, the Torah should have started at hachodesh hazeh lochem. Why? Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzavu ba Yisrael, because that is the first mitzvah that was commanded to all of Klal Yisrael. So here we have the first mitzvah and its commandment specifically to Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. So he's making the point that what is the Torah? The Torah is a book of mitzvos, a book of commandments. And why do we need all of the stories? What's that all about? Ma tam pasach b'vereishis, and why does the Torah start with bereishis? Mishum koach ma'asav higid la'amo, l'ases lehem nachlas goyim. Pasuk from Tehillim Kufir Aleph. The strength of his deeds he tells to his nation to give to them the inheritance of nations. Okay, that is a tanchuma, a medrash. Continues Rashi, She'im yamru umos ha'olam liYisrael, because if the other nations say to Israel, Listim atem, you guys are robbers. She'kavashtem artzos shiva goyim, that here you came in and conquered. Unbelievable how prescient this is. That you came in and conquered the land of the seven nations who were just living there peaceably and came in like oppressors and just took them over. Hey, Momrim Lahem, so they can say to them, to the Yumos Olam, Kol Ha'aretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole land, the whole earth belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He bara, he created it, V'nasna L'Asher Yashar Be'enav, and he gives it to whoever he wants to, whoever is right in his eyes. V'ritzano Nasa Lahem, with it was his will to give it to them, V'ritzano Natla Mehem, V'nasna Lanu. And it is also his will to take it from them and to give it to us. That's the Bereshis Rabbah. The next Rashi. Bereshis bara, for that which is racious, Hashem created. Okay? Rashi says, Ein ha-mikra hazeh omer ela darsheni. This pasuk says, darshen me, because it doesn't make any sense. The diktuk's all wrong. Kemashe chosev razal, like Chazal say, Bishvil ha-Torah shenikra racious darko, on account of things that are called racious, like the Torah, which is called racious darko, pasuk in Mishle, also with Tanchuma, Ubishvil Yisrael, and on account of Israel, that Yirmiyahu calls it Shanikru Rashis Tvu Asa, the first of Hashem's crop, so to speak, which is also a Tanchuma, and a Vayikru Rabba. And then he goes on to explain the Diktuk. Now, Ramban is very quick to point out here, wait a minute, Rashi doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because there are a lot of things that are called Rashis. What about Chala? That's called Rashis Arisosecha. What about Bikurim? That's called Rashis Kol Priho Adama. What about other Rashises? But that's not Rashi's point, I think. Rashi's point is to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bairei Olam, the creator of the universe, created the entire universe on account of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, because we were to be the proud stewards and the proud bearers of Hashem's precious Torah, which is also Rashis. We are called Rashis, the Torah is called Rashis. B'Rashis bara Elohim, for us two Rashises that belong together, Hashem created the universe. And Hashem created the entire universe just for us, just for you and me, because we represent God's word in this universe. It doesn't say Chiba, but you don't have to look very far. If we are doing what God wants, of course he has Chiba for us. Remember Kojak with the lollipop dangling out of one corner of his mouth? Who loves you, baby? Well, what's Rashi saying? Rashi is saying, who loves you, baby? God loves you, baby, because you stand for what he stands for. Rashi says Chiba. He doesn't say Ahava. Chiba is not just love, it is love that is born out of chova, ches vav, beis he. Same word, but it means obligation. Okay, so now we've canvassed the entire Chumash, but I promised you that the last stop would be in Bahaloscha. So if I ask you a question, how many books are the Chamishei Chumashei Torah? So you should know me by now. It's another trick question, and it's based on a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos at the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis and continuing on to the next daf. So there's an argument there about the section of the Chumash in Bahaloscha, which is in between the upside-down nuns, and the upside-down nuns are actually written as such by a sofer upon the klaf of a Sefer Torah, and there are two opinions in the Gemara. According to the second opinion, Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, what is in between the two upside-down nuns does not belong there. It is out of place, but it was placed there for reasons which the Gemara discusses. According to the first opinion, which is Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, the two psukim between the upside-down nuns do belong there, and the upside-down nuns are there to show that those two psukim are an entire book of the Torah, which are self-contained. So according to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Bamidbar is actually split up into three separate books of the Torah. You have Bamidbar 1 up to the first upside-down nun, Bamidbar 2, which are the two psukim of Vayhi ben Soa Haaron Vayomer Moshe, and Uvenucho Yomar Shuvah Hashem Rivavos Alvei Yisrael, and then Bamidbar 3 is the rest of Bamidbar. So you have the three books of Bamidbar, the four other books of the Torah, so altogether there are seven books of the Torah, a very familiar number. I guarantee you, Rashi knows this Gemara, and so what that means is there are two other introductory psukim for two additional books of the Torah that we still have to deal with. So let's take a look at what Rashi has to say on them. The first pasuk is in Bahaloscha. It is Bamidbar, Perik Yud, Pasuk Lamed He. Vayihi ben Soa Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Viafutsu Ayavecha, Vianusu Misanecha, Miponecha. And it was when the Aron, which contained the Luchos, began to travel, and that was the sign for Bnei Yisrael to get up and start moving. So Moshe would say, "Arise, Hashem, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate you flee from before you." So on the word misaneecha, those who hate you, is a very interesting little Rashi. Misaneecha, those who hate you, which in the pasuk means those who hate God. Rashi says, who are those? It says, Elu sonei Yisrael. These are the people who hate Israel. Shekol hasone es Yisrael, because everybody who hates Israel, sone es misha amar v'hoya ha'olam, also hates he who spoke and the world was. Shenemar, and he brings a pasuk from Tehillim, Pei Gimel. Umisanecha nasu rosh, umihem al amcha ya'arimu sod. Now, Kapitel Pei Gimel is not such a familiar kapitel, so I'll just read the beginning of it, and I'll read it mostly in English. Shir Mizmor LaAsaf, a psalm of Asaf. O God, do not hold yourself silent. Be not deaf, and be not still, O God. For behold, your foes, Ayavecha, are in uproar, and those who hate you, Misanecha, have raised their head. Against your people they plot deviously. They take counsel against those sheltered by you. That's the next pasuk that Rashi quotes. Al amcha ya'arimu sod. Upon your nation they plot deviously. They said, come, let us cut them off from nationhood, so Israel's name will not be remembered any longer. Don't forget, Hashem puts his name on us. We are Yisrael. For they take counsel together unanimously. They strike a covenant against you. A bris, Yichrosu. And then it goes on to list a whole mess of nations that are all united against Hashem and against Bnei Yisrael. It's a medrash, a sifri. So what is Rashi saying? Rashi is saying that if you hate the Jewish people, you also hate God, because they're on the same team. They are inseparable. Why? Because God loves Bnei Yisrael. Always did, always will. And you can't take us apart. Okay, that's that pasuk. Let's fast forward by one pasuk, beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, and we have the beginning of what I just called Bamidbar 3. So let's take a look at the pasuk. Vayhi ha'am kemisonanim, and the nation were like complainers. Ra be'aznei Hashem, evil in the ears of Hashem. Vayishma Hashem, and Hashem heard. Vayichar apo, and his anger burned. Vativar bum esh Hashem, and there burned in them the fire of God. Vatochal biktzei hamachane, and it consumed at the edge of the camp. So, let me ask you, Rabbi Sai. I just read you the pasuk. You feel a love? I don't know about you, I don't feel the love, not so much. If there's any ray of hope in that pasuk, it's biktzei hamachaneh, at the edge of the camp, but the rest of that pasuk doesn't really seem so lovey-dovey to me, you know? But according to the Gemara, it's the first pasuk of a sefer, and Rashi's got a shita, so he is not going to back down. Come listen to the words of the master. Let me read you the Rashi on that pasuk. Vayhi ha'am kimsoninim, and the nation were like complainers. Says Rashi, ein ha'am ela rishayim. Whenever it says in Tanakh, the nation, ha'am, it means only the evil ones. V'chein hu omer, and also we see in other places, ma e'ese la'am hazeh. What should I do with this nation? That's a pasuk from Shmos. I think it's Moshe Rabbeinu talking after one of their not-so-minor peccadilloes. Ve'omer, and it says, Ha'om hazeh hara, pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Yud Gimel. But that's only when they're evil. U'kishehem kisherim, but when they are kosher before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kibuim ami, they are called my nation. Shenemar, like it says earlier in Shmos Ches, shalach ami, v'ya'avduni, right? Ami ma'asisi lach, pasuk from Micha. That's another medrash, a sifri. So you see what Rashi does? He takes a horrible pasuk, and he finds a medrash. Ha'am, that's only the Rishayim. But the rest of the time, we're Ami. God calls us my nation. You know, you ever had a really bad day at work, and you come home, and your wife throws open the door and greets you with a scowl, and she says, "You know what your son did today?" And you know that you ain't seen nothing yet. Your hard day is just beginning. And then the next day, you come home from an equally killer day at work, and your wife greets you at the door with a big smile. She's positively beaming. And she says, "Do you know what my precious little boy did today?" And you know, boy, you got it made. And there's nothing else to worry about. Smooth sailing the rest of the night. Rashi reminds us of those good times, even in the midst of the worst possible pasuk that you could possibly imagine. Because God loves us. And don't you forget it. I titled this piece, "How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways, Rashi's Approach to Chumash." I was initially drawn to that title because of all of the countings that we discussed at the beginning of the shiur. But as I am dictating this, we are in the midst of counting the last few days on our way to Matan Torah. I can tell you that classically, I've always looked at Matan Torah a little bit differently than most people. I'm used to thinking about Yetzias Mitzrayim as the birth of the infant nation of Klal Yisrael, of Bini Bechori Yisrael. And when a son is born, he has a bris on the eighth day. The eighth day, eight, is Lamaila Min Hateva. So it's on the eighth day. It is 7 plus 1. Klal Yisrael had its bris not on the eighth day, but on the 50th day, the 7 times 7th day plus 1, 49 plus 1, which of course is Matan Torah. And in Parshas Yisro and in Parshas Mishpatim, it's very clear that there is something called the Bris Sinai. I've put a couple of quick references in the Maror Mekomos. And that bris was the bris of all of Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's a super bris, a 50 instead of an 8. And I still think that's true. But what do we say at a bris? Kishem shenichnas labris, ken yikanes lesorah l'chupa ulamazim tovim. At the tender age of 8 days, a Jewish boy becomes a bar bris. When he becomes 13 years old, he becomes a bar mitzvah. When he gets married and comes to the chuppah, and ultimately raises a family of his own, it takes lots of ma'asim tovim. So Chazal, I think, looked at all of those things as being rolled in together at Matan Torah. Yes, it's when we became a bar bris, but it's also when we became a bar mitzvah. And kofa aleim har kegigis, that's our chuppah. It's also when we became a bas nisuin. In fact, there's not that much difference between the concepts of a bris milah and a nisuin. They are both forms of covenants. With krisis habris of milah, we cut off the orla, and that's meant to be the beginning of a lifetime of training, where we cut off behaviors that are unacceptable before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When one undergoes the brisos of a nisuin, then you're cutting off the possibility of a relationship with another individual. So it really is the same kind of a thing. It's all krisas bris. And when I think about Maamad Har Sinai, it's not just the Aseres HaDibros. Hashem is giving us his entire Torah, all 613 mitzvos. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Each one of those mitzvos, as Rashi sees it, is an expression of love, God's love for us. 613 da'araisas, thousands upon thousands of gzeiras and derabbanans to protect those da'araisas. Each one of them is an expression of love. That quote is taken from Elizabeth Barrett Browning's Sonnets from the Portuguese. It's the first line of sonnet number 43 out of a total of 44 sonnets. Elizabeth Barrett Browning had quite a way with words. It's beautiful poetry. It's well worth listening to. But I made a little cheshbit. I loaded it onto a word processor and did a word count and a letter count. Sonnets from the Portuguese is 5,068 words long, or 21,854 letters. Pretty impressive. But contrast that, Lahavdil Havdolim, with the Torah. 79,976 words, 304,805 letters. Rashi looks at all of those words, all of those letters, and he sees a love letter, perhaps the longest love letter ever written. And it's written from God, the Bara Olam, creator of the universe, to us, the Jewish people. Yes, the first Rashi in Chumash makes it clear. The Torah is a law book, and it should start with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, because that's the first law. But it is so, so much more. It's God's love letter to you and me. Ms. Browning, it was a good attempt, but you're no match for the Bara Olam. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Rabbi Sai, as we count up these last few precious days toward Matan Torah, I wish for you a wonderful, wonderful Chag Shavuos. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Hagut Niyantif.